This morning's scripture lesson comes from the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter. And from the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you, and take your hand in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come out so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The first time Irie came home to Lubbock with me, we were about to get on the plane and head back to the Carolinas when suddenly the beautiful blue West Texas sky and white clouds turned completely brown off in the horizon. "What's that?" Irie asked. "It's dust," I said. "That's dust?" she asked. "Yeah," I said, "but don't worry, it's a dry dust." I come from a dry place and a dry people, both of which are captured in a line from my friend and cowboy poet, Andy Wilkinson, who describes the land of the Llano Estacado as a place where wind is plentiful and rain must be dug up before a crop can grow. Rain must be dug up. I love that. It opens me to think of the world in a whole new way, to consider what is usually thought of as up as down, outside as in, and past or future as present. So too does the text we are given this morning do the same. Rain has to be dug up here also. And just like in West Texas, so too in the sacred story, it's the dry, even despairing drought on the surface of the earth that pushes the people to dig for the secret wells within. The Israelites are in the wilderness. It's a dry and weary land like Lubbock, and there is no water. Soon the Israelites begin to be afraid, and the fear manifests itself as anger. And before too long, they are once again at odds with Moses for his having led them out of Egypt. And amidst the anxiety, some begin a back to Egypt party, exploiting the people's anger and uncertainties about the future. It's an old, old story. And once again, just like last week, Moses doesn't know what to do. Will he die of thirst, or will the people kill him beforehand? He wonders and suddenly senses a new call to a new congregation. But there is no other congregation. He looks up to the heavens for rescue, but there's not a cloud in the sky. From whence does his help come from? And then there was the voice of the Lord, which spoke to Moses and told him he was not to look up to the heavens for help, but down, not outward, but inward. And taking his staff as the voice told him to do, Moses strikes the rock beneath his feet, and the water flows. And so it is that Moses and the Israelites discover something of the secret of this spiritual journey, which we call life. And the secret is this, that there is a well hidden deep within, whose substance will only be discovered in the most desperate and trying of times. That is what the story is about to me. It's about finding a kind of inner spiritual resource that we didn't even know we had available, and discovering it only at the moment when it is most necessary for us to find in order to go on living, which is about right now for a lot of us. Right now, many of us are digging down deep in order to find what it is that we need just to stay alive in this wilderness we call 2020. There is fear and there is uncertainty. And for so many, the anxiety manifests as a kind of anger, as we realize just how far it is that we have to go. We're a long ways from the promised land. And we are all, at times, tempted to despair. But as John Claypool used to say around here, despair is presumptuous. It's presumptuous to assume that we can't go on So we've got to keep on. We've got to keep alive. If not for our own sakes, then, as the Israelites did, for the sake of the next generation that is to follow. And that means that we've got to dig down deep right now. On Monday of this week, I read Richard Rohr's daily meditation. Rohr was talking about these trying times we are living in and what it will take to survive them all. What kind of spirituality we will need in order to sustain ourselves in this wilderness. He quoted a profound passage from the diary of Dutch Holocaust victim Eddy Hillesum. These are Hillesum's words, which she wrote as she faced deportation to the Westerbork transit camp and then finally to Auschwitz. "There is a really deep well inside of me, and it dwells in God. Sometimes I am there too. And that is all we can manage these days, and also all that really matters, that we safeguard that little piece of you, God, in ourselves." There is a really deep well inside of us, and it awaits our discovery. And Christ is its name. For Christ, St. Paul said, was the rock from which the waters came forth in order to save the people in their most desperate and despairing of times. And they who believe in this rock, they who dare to believe there is something more within themselves than is simply on the surface, will discover rivers of living waters flowing from within them. It makes me wonder how long the water was there just waiting to be discovered by the Israelites. How many years or decades or centuries or millennia or eons even ago did the rains fall and bury themselves in the crust of the earth, just waiting there for a time to be dug up at the right time, for just such a time as this? The old theologians used to talk of prevenient grace. That is the grace that goes before us. It is the grace of God's love and provision which precedes all of our decisions. It comes to us before we leave Egypt, before we even know that we need to leave Egypt. And it's waiting for us there for just that moment when we think we ought to go back to Egypt or ought not to have ever left. It is, as again St. Paul said, a mystery hidden and kept secret for ages and generations, but suddenly disclosed to the Lord's people at just the right time and in just the right place. It's God's prevenient grace, and it's there waiting for us ahead on this journey through the wilderness. This morning, we've had a baptism. Young Ella Williams has come across the waters into Christ's freedom and deliverance. But baptism, as I often say to those who are soon to be baptized, is never the end of the journey. It's only the beginning. And just as Jesus was baptized and then sent to struggle in the wilderness, we who have been baptized will have our own wildernesses to walk as well. But the promise is this, that the same one who sent the water which filled the font this morning also dropped the rain yesterday from which we shall drink tomorrow. And then shall come to pass for Ella and for all of the rest of us the words of the old hymn, "Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead us all our journey through." There really is a deep well inside of us all. That's what I try to say every week when I talk about the Spirit of God in Christ in us. The living water of Christ is inside of us, waiting for us there so that we might find it. And so then, as the psalmist says, we have to wait on it. We have to wait on the early rains and the later. And in the mystery of God, we even have to wait on the rains that were buried inside of us before the very dawn of time. When I was younger, my pastor, Charlie Johnson, used to tell us in his deep bass Alabama voice, "You have everything you need." How many times have I thought of that over the years? Especially when, like Moses, I was contemplating my own call to another congregation. And how many times has it proven true that with God in Christ above and before and beside and behind and below and most of all within, I have had everything I needed, even if I didn't know it yet? That's how God works, bringing us to the point in the journey when there's nothing else that we can do but look in. And the Lord said, "Strike the rock, and the water will come out." And so Moses did so, He took his staff and he struck the rock, and the water did come out, and the people drank, and they survived. Even in the wilderness, they survived. And we will too. With God in Christ in us, we will too. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.